Hello, I'm Pastor Doug Backham of the Anacortes Christian Reformed Church. It's my privilege to welcome you to our online worship this weekend of July 26th. Our call to worship is one of the prayers of confession in Scripture, and this is a weekend we're going to be focusing on confession prayers as we respond to the pandemics of the day, the need for racial reconciliation, COVID-19. From David's heart, create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Grant a willing spirit to sustain me. David's prayer for himself, my prayer for a church in Anacortes this weekend. Our text this morning is from Daniel chapter 9, a great prayer of confession in Israel's scriptures. The Lord our God is merciful, forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. I was challenged to look again at prayers of confession after a meeting with several of our pastor friends from the inner city Seattle, Pastor Harvey Drake, Pastor Clarence Presley, and Pastor Bookie Gates met with us and challenged us to think seriously about our role as our response to the difficulties in our inner city, particularly inner city Seattle, this season. And when asked what could the church in Anacortes do, Pastor Harvey Drake of Emerald City Bible Church responded with very little hesitation, confess. And he turned to the Old Testament prayers of confession as a model for the church. And my first response was what I think a lot of people's response is to what's happening in our inner city today. I'm not racist. But in a world so overwhelmed by the curse, and what Daniel responds to in Daniel chapter 9 is his people's experience of the curse. Particularly the curse of disobedience, but in general, the curse of creation. Creation marred by coronavirus. Relationships marred by the need for racial reconciliation. In a world so overwhelmed right now by the curse, revival, restoration, reconciliation, and healing are exactly what are needed. And if I'm reading the Bible right, I believe Pastor Harvey pointed us this direction, that if we want revival, restoration, reconciliation, and healing to happen, then we need to begin with confession. Every great work of God has begun with his people confessing. Because there's enough sin in my life and enough sin in our lives together to explain the curse. So let's begin with confession today. From Daniel chapter 9, I'd like to read this extended text. And I want you to be thinking, last week with Psalm 13, there was an awful lot of first-person pronouns, I and my. Listen this week for the absolute lack of first-person pronouns once we get into the prayer. I think it will surprise you. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God. I pleaded in prayer and petition, in fasting, in sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God, and I confessed. This is the prayer. It's about 12 verses. It takes a little bit of time. O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands, we have sinned. We have done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes and our fathers and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah, the people of Jerusalem and all of Israel, both near and far, and all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we, our kings, our princes, our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. For we have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law, has turned away, is refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the word spoken against us by our and against our rulers by bringing us this great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing ever has been done like this, what has happened to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, and yet we have not obeyed him. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned. We have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the petitions and prayers of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. For we do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act for your sake. O my God, that's the one singular personal pronoun in this whole prayer. O Lord, my God. Do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. And while Daniel now speaks, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and making my request to the Lord my God on his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. And Gabriel launches into one of the great prophetic passages of Scripture. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know and understand this, the very promise that Gabriel had made to Daniel. Daniel's prayer of confession for his people in the 5th century BC, the Holy Spirit's gift to the church in Anacortes, as we desire to see God at work in our lives and in our church. Father, thank you for Daniel's words and for preserving this incredible prayer for us today. And Father, I ask that we would see the same power at work in our church as we turn to confession that Daniel saw as you restored your people then. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a few words of introduction to this prayer, since we're jumping into Daniel in the middle. You might have noticed, if you had your Bible open as I was reading, that there's two different words for Lord. Lord with L and then all lowercase letters, and then Lord with L and then smaller uppercase letters, L-O-R-D. In Daniel, Daniel refers to God mostly as Lord, in Hebrew, Adon, the great one, Lord. Only in this chapter, only in chapter 9, does he refer to God with a covenant name, Yahweh, which is reflected in the NIV as L-O-R-D with uppercase O-R-N-D. I want to say that because Daniel is breaking into covenant relationship in this chapter like nowhere else in the book. Only here in Daniel is God's covenant name used. Only here does Daniel appeal to God's covenant curses and promises. And I think that's why in this chapter, Daniel has switched back to Hebrew. For those of you who do not know this, Daniel is a book in the Bible that's written half in Hebrew and half in Aramaic, the trade language of the day. The part in Hebrew are the opening verses as Daniel and his friends are interacting with Nebuchadnezzar. Then from Daniel 2, from Daniel 2 verse 4, when the astrologers begin talking, through chapter 6, it is all in Aramaic. And in that section, Daniel is dealing mostly with God's relationship to the nations, the four great empires, the statue with the head, the shoulders, the midriff, and the legs that represent the different empires, the bear and the ram that represent the different empires, and then in chapter seven, as he turns his attention back to God's promises regarding the God's people in particular, he switches back to Hebrew. In fact, Daniel is written thematically, not chronologically, because our chapter 9, actually fits between chapters 5 and 6. In chapter 5, Babylon falls. In chapter 6, Daniel's already a magistrate under Darius, and he is in the lion's den, which is later on in his life from this chapter. So Daniel's not chronological, but Daniel is thematic in that this story in Daniel is in the Hebrew section where Daniel appeals to the covenant relationship between God and his people. Again, as contrary to last week, in this prayer, the first person personal pronoun, my, occurs only in that very end of the prayer when he appeals to, oh Lord, my God. Because this is a corporate prayer, a corporate confession. And there are individual confessions in Scripture. We started our service with one of those, Psalm 51, and David's great prayer of confession. But it's the corporate confession that grabbed my attention. It's the corporate confession that Pastor Drake challenged me to consider. It's the corporate confession that we pray together as the people of God. And one last note of introduction. Confess is usually that word in Hebrew, yada. In fact, it's the same three letters that make up the word Judah, praise God. And there's a little word joke around the name Judah, which means to praise God, because Judah is going to be praised by his brothers in Genesis 49. When that word is connected to God, or one of God's qualities, it is always translated praise. When that word is connected to a person or me or my sin, it is always translated confess, very same word. When it's connected to a God thing, it's praise, or give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever, is this very same word, yada, that now gets translated confess because it is attached to my sin, because it is attached to humanness, fallenness. And I think it is just beautiful that Hebrew has given us this word that when pointed to God means praise, when pointed to me means confess. Think about that as we confess again this morning. Preparing for confession. How does Daniel get ready for this prayer? It begins this way. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, not the Xerxes of Esther, that's 100 years later, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to the prophet Jeremiah, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. We can ask 70 years from when. Daniel assumes it's 70 years from his capture, 605 BC, not 70 years from the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC. Just a little side note there. So Daniel looks and said, hey, I'm 85 years old. I got taken out of Jerusalem when I was a teenager. It's been almost 70 years. God is going to do something, and my part in that is going to be confession. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. So I turned to the Lord, thinking about Jeremiah, thinking about God's promises 50, 60 years ago that the exile would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God, and pleaded with him in prayer and petition and fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God, and because I'm talking about my sin, I confessed. Just a quick thought, three quick thoughts here. Number one, I learned something really important about Scripture. There are dozens of uses in the Old Testament of the word that is translated Scripture here, understood from the Scriptures according to the word of the Lord. This is the only time in the NIV that it's translated Scripture in the Old Testament. And what Daniel has done is he's taken a prophecy from Jeremiah that was written down and brought to Jerusalem brought to Babylon from Jerusalem, and now to Susa from Jerusalem, because he's in Persian country now. He's taken that scroll, that word, that word is translated scroll and book and writing dozens of other places, and he's given it the power of Scripture. And this really begins our contemporary view of what the Word of God is, that what Jeremiah wrote really is the Word of the Lord given, not just to Jeremiah, not just to Daniel, but to us. In 60 years, it's become Scripture. Why 70 years? In 2 Chronicles, we find out it's because of the 70 years that the land did not get its Sabbath between the entry into the land and the exile. But 70 is going to mean much more here. You see, 70 is a long time. And at the end of this prayer, when Gabriel comes and says, now, understand that 77s are laid out for God's people, that's going to be an immensely long time for God to prepare his people for coming Messiah. Because what Daniel knows is that the last thing in God's redemption plan before Messiah can come is for God's people to be restored back to the land so that they can be prepared for Messiah. Oh, he learns something very important about Scripture, and he learns something even more important about God's redemption timing. Yes, the land had to enjoy its Sabbaths, but it's because Jesus was coming that God had to restore his people, and it was going to be longer than the exile before Messiah came. And there are all kinds of really, really wild ideas about what those 77s mean, and you can buy really fun books to read and in-depth studies of what 77s and 1290 days and 3.5 years and all those things that come out of this incredible and relatively short little prophecy in Daniel. On my notes, I have some pictures like that, which are just make it very, very complex about what's happening during those 77s. I'm going to suggest that that while those are good biblical exercises, probably not really helpful in understanding the big picture of God's plan. Because I think Gabriel is simply saying this to Daniel. Exile was 70 years. Messiah is going to come in a lot longer time than that. And we understand that it was 490 some years from return to Jerusalem to to Messiah coming. Something like when Peter asked Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive? 7 times. And Jesus said, no, 77. 77 times. Just a long, 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 long time is what this means. And 70 is going to be the number that reflects God's redemption plan. The long time we wait. The long time we spend waiting for a miracle. I learned something about God's redemption timing. And I learned something really important about revival and restoration. That very thing that Pastor Harvey challenged me about. That confession always precedes revival and restoration. Always in Scripture. And Ezra and Nehemiah are wonderful examples of that. But the historical testimony of the church is just as clear. If we want to see God at work, then confession is where we begin. Well, let's turn to the prayer for just a few minutes. And I wish we had time to break this down and pray these individual parts together. It would be a great exercise. I simply want to say a couple things about this prayer. I prayed to the Lord my God, and I confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God. It sounds like one of BJ's prayers. I love this beginning, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong. Jump right into the main point. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened. Lord, you are righteous. We are covered with shame. We and our kings and our ancestors. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. Confession begins with, confession is a reflection on God's character. I'm going to say it even more strongly than that. Confession depends on God's character. That we have a God who is awesome. We have a God who keeps his covenant of love with us. We have a God who is merciful and forgiving, and we depend on that. If you're ever asked if you believe in miracles, the proper response is, believe in them, I depend on them. If you ever asked if you believe in the character of God, the proper response is, I don't just believe in that, I depend on God's character of love and mercy and forgiveness. Confession is always a reflection of God's character. It begins there. Secondly, confession is a discipline of agreeing with God's word. In the New Testament, the word generally translated confession is a wonderful Greek word, homologeo, to say the same thing as, literally to agree. So when we confess our sins, when we agree with God about our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from unfaithfulness. That's the New Testament word. The Old Testament word for confession is simply to get excited about, to throw something. And when it refers to God, it means to praise, to give thanks. When it refers to me, it means to confess my sins. It is a discipline of agreeing with what God says about me. And what Daniel has particularly in mind are God's covenant blessings and curses from places like Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. These passages where God lays out his covenant requirements. Just from Deuteronomy 28. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God, if you do not carefully follow his commands that I'm giving you today, all these curses will come upon you. You'll be cursed in the city and you'll be cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed. The crops of your land and the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. And it just goes on for chapters in Deuteronomy about the covenant curses. And Daniel is saying, I agree with you, God. Those covenant curses are due us. We deserve exactly what has happened in this situation. And Daniel is not saying, I deserve it. Daniel is saying, we deserve it. I hope you've noticed that already. This is not Daniel. This is we together deserve what is happening. A church in the very best of times can still say, my sin and our sin together can explain the cost of the curse to this community, whether we're talking about COVID-19 or whether we're talking about the need for racial reconciliation, it doesn't matter. Our response begins with an agreement with God about what the real problem is, and the real problem is God's an awesome God. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and rebelled. You are merciful and forgiving. That's the bottom line for a prayer of confession. Confession is a response to God's faithfulness. What I mean by that is confession looks at how God has acted in the past and says, we want you to do that again. Now, Lord our God. In verse 15 and in verse 17, Daniel begins these petition sections. Now, Lord your God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand. In the Old Testament, if you wanted to say, where has God acted most faithfully? It would be when he brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and who made yourself a name that endures to this day. We have sinned and done wrong. Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, everything you did to preserve your people in the past, from promising Abraham the land, to preserving Noah in the flood, to giving Adam, the gifts of grace that you did, everything you've done in the past, in keeping with all those expressions of your righteousness, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, from your holy hill. Har Kadosh, I love that language. Our sins and the iniquities of our ancestors have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. And if it's a response to God's faithfulness, then confession is also a discipline of faith. The end of this prayer: we do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Confession is a discipline of faith. It is a faith-building exercise as we again respond to God's faithfulness, as we again recognize whose righteousness really matters in my life and in your life, and it's not mine. Even Daniel. Now, there are a lot of characters who pray this kind of thing in the Old Testament. Most of them had a dark side. David, Moses, Abraham. I mean, just Adam. Excuse me. Daniel is maybe the one who didn't deserve it. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous. Even Daniel says this, but because of your great mercy. Confession is a recognition of whose righteousness matters. And it would be an appropriate time to launch into a righteousness of Jesus exercise if we had a whole lot more time. Once again, I'm going to encourage us that that this prayer is really meant to be prayed and not analyzed. And this would be a great time, if you're watching this on video, to pause and pray this prayer, and then come back and we'll finish up, because I want to finish with what I think Daniel learned in this prayer. This is how the story ends. Daniel goes back to his narration mode. Verse 20. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin, oh, there's that word. If it points to God, it's praise. If it points to me, it's confession. And confessing my sin and the sin of my people and making my request to the Lord my God. And he switches again to the covenant name of God here for just a moment, the last time in the book of Daniel. And making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill. While I was still in prayer, Gabriel, go back a chapter and meet Gabriel. The man I had seen in an earlier vision came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. Daniel is still keeping Jerusalem time, Jerusalem disciplines, 80 years later in Babylon. I love this man. He instructed me and he said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. Gabriel's words are incredible. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. And Gabriel launches into his 77s. 90% of the commentaries and sermons on Daniel 9 are on the next 7 or 8 verses. The important 70 in this chapter is the first 70, where God says in Jeremiah, 70 years are laid out for my people. It's going to be a long time before the restoration, and it's going to be a lot longer time, 77s, before Messiah comes, and then a longer time before I bring in the kingdom. That's what's happening here. Three things I think Daniel learned here. Number one, that his prayer had an effect in the heavenly realms, in the heavenlies, to use Paul's language in Ephesians, and I really think this is an Old Testament parallel to Ephesians chapter 6, where our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers of this age in the heavenly places. We're blessed in the heavenly places, but there's also spiritual warfare going on in the heavenly places, and the way we impact what's happening in the heavenly realms is by prayers of confession. Confession blows Satan away. Satan operates in the heavenly realms. Think Job, think Ephesians chapter 6. And imagine Satan the accuser of the brethren coming to God and saying, oh, what about that? And God saying, hey, they've already confessed that. Satan is gone. We shut, confession is the best way to shut Satan up. And for the next three chapters, Daniel's going to learn the lesson of what's happening in the heavenlies and how that affects the playing out of empires on earth in preparation for Messiah, Daniel 10, 11, and 12. And it's an incredible study, but it starts with Daniel's prayer of confession that prepares him to see what's happening in the heavenlies, that affects what's happening on earth, that brings Messiah about. It's an incredible, incredible story. Worth a sermon series coming up here, I'm thinking. Number two, Daniel learns insight and understanding. He has seen the big picture already, the beasts, the statues, the empires coming and going. Daniel has seen the big picture, but now in these next few chapters, God lays out for him the plan for Messiah in a much more precise way. And lament and confession, maybe in that order, maybe in that order, work to reorient our perspectives so that we're able to see God at work. If David's prayer last week in Psalm 13 was, I need light to see what's happening, God, then this prayer cracks open heaven so that Daniel begins to see in. And if Daniel's apocalyptic, what apocalyptic means is exactly that, a crack in heaven so that we can see in to what's happening in the heavenlies in God's redemption plan. This prayer cracks open heaven so that Daniel sees. This prayer offers Daniel insight and understanding that he has not, even Daniel has not had yet. Daniel learns an awful lot by praying a prayer of confession. And finally, and maybe the most important lesson Daniel learns, as he has been waiting his whole life, he is now an 80-plus-year-old man. He was taken from Jerusalem as a young teenager. He has been waiting his whole life. And Gabriel says, Daniel, as soon as you started praying, now, not when you finished your prayer, not when you got to the good part, oh, Lord, my God, but when you started praying, a word went out. There was this communication across the heavenlies, which I've come to tell you about. Gabriel made the journey. For you are highly esteemed. Daniel, you are loved. You are forgiven. And you have a part in God's redemption plan. I hope confession prepares us to know that we're loved, that we are forgiven, and that we have a part in God's redemption plan. Oh, just remember what I said at the beginning, that Daniel 9 precedes Daniel 6 chronologically, and it might very well be that Daniel, who kept praying at the time of the evening prayers, even when the law of the Medes and the Persians were against him, that maybe this is one of the things that upheld Daniel as he faced the lion's den just a few years later. Prayer works in the heavenly realm like nothing else. Prayer gives us insight and understanding into what God's plan is and God's redemption plan like nothing else. And prayer of confession will remind you that you are loved and forgiven like no other discipline you can engage in as a believer. I hope you pray this prayer with me this week. Father, thank you for an opportunity to spend just these few minutes with Daniel's prayer. And my prayer for this community, this church, is that together as we pray, we will know that we're loved. We'll know that we're forgiven. And we will know that you are at work in our lives like never before. Father, give us the gift of restoration that you gave Daniel's people. In Jesus' name, amen.